As most of you know, our scheduling of our classes is on a two-month rotation, and Mike is presently teaching our adult class upstairs, and in the month of May and June, I will be facilitating the class, and I have chose for that class to study afterlife. What then? So today I would like to give a preview of what that class will entail. So not going to be an in-depth study whatsoever, but just some general remarks about afterlife, what then? Now, all of our classes have been studying in the book of Genesis for the last few weeks, over a month for sure, and from the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we learn that because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, death will come to every human being. Chapter 3, verse 17 of Genesis, it says, "To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plant of the field. But by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." From that time on, every person that was born in this world has died. Unless God performs some miraculous thing, as he did with Enoch and Elijah. But other than that, we all die. Now, we know that death is not exactly a pleasant thing to talk about. Some people don't like to go to funerals. But when you go to a funeral, you know that you're going to be talking about death because that's what you're there for, to honor the person that has died. Hebrews 9, 9th chapter, verse 27, it says, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." So what do you think happens after death? Well, for us in the church, we have a lot of answers that a lot of people don't have. There's some people that really hate the subject so much that they don't think too much about it, but kind of in the back of everybody's mind, well, after I die, then what? Well, science, movies, television, they stimulate our imagination on this subject in lots of different ways. But they only provide us with someone's theory or maybe I should say, really, they only provide us with guesses. Isn't it wonderful that everything that we need to know about what happens after this physical life is revealed to us in these scriptures that Mike's been talking about in our Sunday morning class? You see, when you understand that this book is inspired by the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, you get all kinds of answers that lots of people don't have. Faith that the Bible's words are inspired truth from the creator of the universe gives us lots of answers that would otherwise be just pure speculation. Life is short and death is certain, so what do you do with that life will determine what your future after death will be. There's a lot of people that haven't a clue about that. It doesn't matter if you're young and you're healthy and you're full of vim and vigor, or you're an old person that's feeble and weak, poor in health. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you fall in that spectrum of life. None of us can escape the reality of death. Not one of us. Your death will either open a door of unimaginable bliss like nothing else you've ever enjoyed in life, or it will open up a door of complete horror and disbelief that will never end. So it's really important for us to talk about death, isn't it? God earnestly desires to bless every human being that he created. But to obtain that blessing, one must believe and obey his will, which comes by who? It comes by the word of God that was written and inspired by the holy writers of the Bible. So in our upcoming adult class in May and June, we will discuss in a lot more detail about death. But now I'd like to introduce to you my second area that we'll be talking about in that class, and that is the second coming. The Bible talks about a second coming. When we study the book of Jeremiah, we notice that there were lots of false prophets that predicted things that were not true because they were not inspired by God to say the things that they predicted. Have you ever heard anybody predict about when we're going to all have this second coming? I'm sure you have. Lots of those people have predicted these things, and they have come and went. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, this is what Jeremiah said. He said, "Among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal, and they led my people Israel astray." This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says, you will have peace.' And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, 'Oh, no harm is going to come to you.' But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, 'The Lord declares.' Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and they lead my people astray with their reckless lies, yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord." And so it is in this life. It's no different now than it was back then. We have lots of false prophets that tell us lots of things. And how do we know what's really right? How do we know if they're really prophets of God? Well, there's lots of things that we know if you study the Bible. Since we know the Apostle Paul told the Galatian church that if anybody speaks anything to you other than what we've already told you, what are you supposed to do? It says, let him be accursed. So we don't have to worry about predictions of the end of time because we already know what those predictions are, don't we? Because we've studied the inspired word of God. Near the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, it's recorded in Matthew 24, two questions that the disciples asked the Lord. When will be the destruction of the temple, when the destruction of the temple would take place is what they wanted to know. When's this going to happen? And the other question was, what will be the sign of Jesus coming at the end of the age? I'm going to read you part of Jesus' answer. It comes in Matthew 24, verse 35 and 36. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, knows." Now, we cannot believe false predictions. We can be certain that the Lord is coming, can't we? Because the Lord promises us that he is coming. The Lord has always kept his promises. Each Lord's Day, Christians partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. Travis spoke to us about these things to remind us why we come together and break this bread and drink this cup. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do you do?" It says, "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So yes, we are all looking for a second coming of the Lord, aren't we? He's already been here once. He's went back to heaven, but he's going to come again. We're going to be talking about that. He will come to save those who love him. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, that along with this second coming, there will be a judgment. That judgment will be another thing that we're going to discuss in this study in May and June. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but I want to talk about the resurrection first before we talk about judgment. In Job's struggle with his great affliction unleashed on him by Satan, it was allowed by God, Job asked this question: "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Now, was he actually asking that question because he didn't know, or was it to make a point? We're not going to talk about that right now, but he did pose that question: "If a man dies, shall he live again?" There's lots of people who ask that same question. In John chapter 6, Jesus was asked by a group of his followers, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Verse 29 of that same chapter, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Of course, he's talking about himself. "Therefore they said to him, well, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do?" And then, of course, they had to bring up, well, you know, our forefathers, they had a sign. God gave them manna from heaven to feed them. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus proceeded to tell them that I am the true bread from heaven. John 6, 35. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all..." "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up that last day." So what does that mean, he's going to raise us up that last day? You know, when you ask people this question, you get several different answers. Some think death is the end and a person will cease to exist. I'll be just like Rover and go back to the dirt, and that's it. Some say the righteous will live on while the unrighteous will cease to exist. Some think that everybody will go to heaven. Others think that we'll be repeatedly reincarnated in different life forms on the earth. Like, in other words, someday I'll come back as a horse or a dog or a different type of person. But what does the Book of Truth say about that? When the Jews forced the Apostle Paul to be put on trial before Felix the governor, he was accused of causing dissension among the Jews. Paul spoke to them on on his own behalf. He addressed Felix. He says, "Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone nor exciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city. nor can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. There's a lot more that we can say about the resurrection, and we will. For those who love God and serve Him faithfully, belief in the resurrection is a great promise and a great comfort of hope that reaches far beyond this world of sin and sorrow. It's the one great hope that we have, that when we die and pass on, there's a lot more to this than just going back to the dust. We will be resurrected. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time." I'm thankful that Dwayne read this scripture that he did for us, and we'll be looking into that passage in 1 Corinthians 15 a lot more later on in our classes. But certainly we are born again in this life to a living hope, aren't we? Our hope is our inheritance in heaven. It's an inheritance that will never perish. It'll never be defiled. It'll never fade away. It'll always be there for us if we make it. Our inheritance in heaven is reserved especially for us by the power of God. God will reveal that inheritance to us in that last day when the Lord Jesus returns to take us home with Him. Heaven is eternal. It's blessed. It's pure. And it's filled with joy and love. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have a group of Bible characters that we read about that are our heroes of the Bible, who were wandering pilgrims who were full of faith in search of a better country. Verse 16 of chapter 11 of Hebrews reveals, it says, "But now they desire a better country, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." So, let me conclude my lesson. You're saying, "Wait a minute, you just got started." Yes, I did, but I'm ready to conclude it. Sometimes my conclusions run a little bit longer than others. But here's what I want to say. In our class in the month of May and June, we're going to entitle it "Afterlife, What Then?" Today I've just very briefly mentioned about death. We're all going to die. There is going to be a second coming. There is a resurrection for everyone, not just those who are going to heaven. There will be a judgment that will take place. And then I want to talk lastly about heaven. And no doubt there will be some discussion about the place of torment called hell. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do you have a pure heart? If you have a pure heart, your thinking, your actions, your whole philosophy of life will be dominated by the inspired word that comes from God. Everything you do in life will be inspired by the word of God that you read, hopefully every day. If you're one of those many people who think, "Oh, I'm going to heaven," you got to remember something. If you're one of those who think that you're on your way to heaven, after you die, just remember that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And so the real question is, in what way have you prepared yourself to be in eternity with God? If the desires of the flesh and the pleasures of this world fill you with pride and occupy your way of life, your heart is not in the right place. And that's where we find lots of people in this world, don't we? Perhaps you've focused your life, and we've heard of people, and we know really good people that have focused their whole life doing many humble and gracious things for their fellow man. But it doesn't necessarily fit what our Heavenly Father has laid out for us to do. Will those very good people be allowed to live with God in eternity? Listen to how Jesus answers that question. I'm in the book of Matthew and John. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on them, on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.'" Is your heart in the right place? Jesus said, "If you keep my words, he shall never, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never taste death. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him that last day." So you see how important the word is? The inspired word of God is the thing that's going to judge us. We will be judged by those words. "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandments is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." There may be somebody in our crowd today that has never really taking these words as serious as they should. I encourage you, do not lose your opportunity to live for God forever. We, as a tradition, we sing a closing song to our service. We're going to invite you today to become a part of His heavenly kingdom. We want you to place your complete confidence and faith in Him. Completely trust in the Lord's words, doing the things He requires of you. He wants you to repent of your past sins. He wants you to be able to continue to confess His name before men all your life. And then He wants you to be immersed in a watery grave of baptism to have your sins washed away. If you have been contemplating these thoughts and you just haven't made the decision, we encourage you to do it while you still have opportunity. So as we stand and sing the number selected, please let your wishes be known and come forward. 870.